You're listening to Packers Talk Network. PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Oh, gosh. Low man wins, right? Gripkowski got so low that you could not get your pads underneath his to make the tackle.
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
Reach the audience.
Guess who's back?
So I think that's the logical explanation.
Let's just, say that didn't happen.
It was a return to greatness. It was a return to form.
It's crazy. And he just kind of flew under the radar.
Get this out there so I sound good on Cheesehead Radio.
Yeah.
No negativity allowed, sir.
So I think that's actually going to be really exciting to watch. I don't think there's anything positive we can say. There's a lot.
Oh, right? Oh, you were looking for positive. Yeah.
I guess that's what I meant. Positive, I think.
All right, Packer Nation, we have plenty of positivity to bring you tonight here on Cheesehead Radio. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you joining us here once again on a Wednesday night with the gang, talking Packers, talking the Packers Houston. Of course, looking forward to the matchup against the Seahawks on Sunday. Big game coming up. Should be a great time. My name, C.D. Angel. You can find me over at PackersTalk.com. I am joined by the amazing Elmer's Glue of the show, Jamie Snowden, making a return. And, of course, the Einstein of the group, because she knows more than you, Michelle Bruton. How are you doing tonight, ladies?
I know. We're flattered by your flattery and your nice words.
Flattered by my flattery.
Kind introductions. Amazing.
I'm doing my best. Jersey Albraco is not with us tonight. His Mason Crosby fan club membership has expired, and he is presently on hold with customer service. Will not be joining us tonight, but we wish him the best and hopes he gets that all renewed soon. Sponsoring Packers Talk Network this year, the fine folks at Ticket King. They've been selling Packers, Badgers, and other tickets in Wisconsin for just short of 25 years and have earned a reputation for excellent customer service and prices. Be sure to check out their website, theticketking.com, and right now, 10% off deal. Just use the code PackersTalk to get a 10% discount. Joining us tonight, it's going back to the future. John Rahor is going to join us about halfway through the show. I have a feeling that we won't need to talk much after that point, so we're looking forward to that. So we better get our talking time in now. Let's get to some Packers news.
Packers news.
All right. We start off as usual with the big injury news of the week. Aaron Rodgers was limited in practice Wednesday as he continues to nurse an injured hamstring. Mike McCarthy said, "We'll see where he's at tomorrow." When every game is essentially a must-win from here on out, having a banged-up quarterback is troubling, to say the least.
And today, we also learned that Nick Perry will miss Sunday's game against Seattle after getting surgery on his hand. Nick Perry is the Packers' leading pass rusher with 8 sacks.
In other news of defensive players who will miss time for the Packers, Mike Pennell will serve a second 4-game suspension for a second violation of the league's substance abuse policy, but would be available to play in any potential postseason games.
And it's not just the Packers, however, who will be without some of their starting defensive players. Safety Earl Thomas will not take the field for Seattle this week. In fact, he's going to miss the rest of the season after suffering a pretty gruesome leg injury last week.
In other happier news, in the spirit of the season, the Packers have been doing lots of good in the community recently. The Packers and Sargento Tees teamed up to donate $17,000 to Paul's Pantry in Green Bay on Tuesday through their Touchdowns for Charity. Sargento donates $500 for every touchdown scored during the season to Paul's Pantry.
But that's not all. At a luncheon at Lambeau on Tuesday, the Green Bay Packers Foundation announced grants to 316 organizations, totaling a record $800,000. These programs benefited animal care, health care, education, and so much more. Thank you to the Packers organization.
In other news, if the turn in the weather has you thinking of warmer climes, the Packers are offering a Caribbean cruise in March 2018. the Packers are partnering with Leadership League for the Packers Legends Cruise, which will give fans the chance to socialize with active and retired Packers, including Leroy Butler, Amon Green, Dorsey Levins, Dave Robinson, Andre Rison, and more to be announced.
Is that really a word, climbs?
It sure is. And, you know, I that one in my part of the news because I felt like as you were reading it, you would say, is this really a word, Michelle?
See, I waited till the end. I let you finish. Then I asked. Finally, to kick off the tough final four-game stretch of the schedule, the Packers made the biggest jump of any team in the USA Today NFL Power Rankings. They're at number 15 now, which seems appropriately low enough to keep a chip on their shoulder while still reaching for the stars.
And that was your Packers news of the week. Now it's time for your
Packer Tweets from Packer Tweets.
Well, there's a lot of anticipation for the upcoming game against the Seahawks. And with injuries affecting both teams, there's also some uncertainty in the air. The Packer Ranter starts us off with the best counter tweet to by Ryan Wood, who tweeted, MM on Earl Thompson's absence. We're not going to drop back and throw 50-yard post routes all day because they have a new safety. To which the Ranter tweeted, or are we? Comma, Mike McCarthy looks at the camera and winks, breaking the fourth wall. And after a strong start with the Hey Rogers guy a few years back, State Farm has struggled to create funny commercials with our star Packers players since. In fact, you might even say some are downright painful to watch. Zach Cruz echoes what most of us are thinking when he tweets, someone should light the Aaron Rodgers Randall Cobb State Farm commercial on fire and not call the fire department.
Well,
I really wanted to throw a Red Cross ad in there, but they can still call the Red Cross and we can help them. Because I'm peer work mode now. Well, in a world which seems like NFL players can get away with murder, the NFL world was stunned when Carolina coach Ron Rivera benched his uber-star quarterback Cam Newton on Sunday night for a quote-unquote dress code violation. Chris Berg of Sports Illustrated, apparently not taken with the junior high coaching approach, tweets out, unless Cam Newton wore a t-shirt that said, F-bomb Ron Rivera, I'm going to need more information.
Finally, Badger Noonan gets us to the end of our tweet storm with his tongue-in-cheek response to Aaron Nagler. Nagler, who tweeted, the quick rhythm passing game from Monday night seems like it was a mirage during the game, was one-upped by Noonan, who dryly observes, I liked the wait forever, almost get killed, and scramble for three offense better anyway.
It certainly has been that kind of season for the Packers, and that was your Cheesehead Radio Tweet of the Week.
Tweet of the Week.
Climbs.
The more you know.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to go use that in a sentence with someone tomorrow in context. This is going to be great.
Yeah, you can say it's so cold in Wisconsin now, let's leave for warmer climes.
I'm
in warmer climes they can go
Wisconsin.
Outside for in warmer climes they can go outside for recess.
Could you understand that one there, Jamie, or not?
I did, although I moved my phone when I was unmuting it, and so now you're back in mono, and so it's really quiet again. So I'm over here just twisting the cord around.
Okay. Once again, the more you know. Well, let's talk a little bit about this Packers win. I got to go to the game. It was pretty awesome. It was very wet and very cold. It wasn't cold, but it was just really wet, and then you had the slightest bit of wind on you, and you just felt it go, like, right through your clothes. So it was one of those games, which is why I think I'm still sick today. But very good game, fun game to be at. I guess let's kick off with something that I know is probably really big on Jamie's list, and that is, of course, what we're seeing in the running game. We know we don't have Eddie Lacy, so we have to go to our reserve running back. And we figure he's going to come in and do what he's always done for the last seven seasons. And unfortunately, Jamie, what's happening?
I'm glad that we're starting with this, just because CD and I had a little discussion about this before the show started. And I think back to our, you know, Cheesehead Radio favorite Neo, how excited we always get when, you know, when he was doing good things, and he always had that really interesting running style straight off and had his knees so high, and it was such a nice change of pace from Lacey. And I started thinking back of, you know, how sad I am now that Nia's not doing as good, and really how he became so close in our hearts, because I don't ever think he was really that good of a running back. I don't know why we all became such big fans of his. And so I thought back to how he got his nickname. And in the Super Bowl season, when he was on PUP or whatever, if he was designated to return, I don't even remember, but when he wasn't playing and everyone said, our season's going to be so much better once James Starks can play. And I was like, I think we all just sat there, are you guys kidding me? Who, we've never heard of this guy. He's just some guy. And you think he's going to come in and be able to run the ball. What is he? The chosen one? He our Neo? And so the name originally was very tongue-in-cheek and almost a little like, whatever, that's no way that's going to happen. And then he did come in and run well and not completely saved the run offense. I think Corey Behnke still said for many seasons when Starks was running, why run when you can win? Because we were just really good at throwing the ball around. But so I thinking back to that, I started, you know, postulating that maybe Neo really is in the Matrix and he's just now in like Time Warp and he's running at a whole different speed than everyone else. So if you think back to all those scenes in the movie with like Keanu Reeves like doing that back bend and the bullet going like real slow over him, Neo is just at the really slow mode of the movie right now, and maybe someday he'll catch up, because that's the only thing that I can possibly come up with to explain why he can't run fast and why he apparently loves to run more just across the line of scrimmage. Like, he's going to get those yards in. Like, he's going to run for 10 yards but lose 2 yards.
Parallel with the line of scrimmage.
Like T-Buck.
Yes.
When he would return punts.
So let's turn it over to Michelle. Michelle, let's turn it to you now. So, replacing with Ty Montgomery, your thoughts on the Starks-Montgomery
fiasco?
That's a good word.
I think
climb.
Yeah.
Hit the
climb.
The climb of Starks and Montgomery.
I think the most telling thing is when you look at how many yards per carry they're averaging, and Montgomery is averaging not almost 6, it's 5.3 yards a carry, but still, that's an incredible amount of yards to be getting per carry for a quote-unquote running back, whereas James Starks is only getting 2.3 yards per attempt, which is pitiful. I mean, you can fall forward and get more than 2.3 yards per attempt. So I guess my question is the surgery that Starks had to have on his knee kind of affecting him more than maybe we thought it would? Is he just more hesitant? Is he afraid to kind of cut? Is he afraid to kind of put that same power into his running? But in terms of replacing, I mean, I think it's a no-brainer. I think that Montgomery is, it's the only thing that's a shame is that we don't have three Montgomerys, because he's someone who, if we could line him up in the backfield and in the slot and as a Z receiver, you know, all at once, we'd be probably winning every game. But I don't think he's necessarily wasted being in the backfield on, say, half of his snaps, especially because he has such a good pass catcher out of there. But as we've seen, he can kind of bowl people over from there too. And because Devontae Adams is finally living up to his potential and coming on as a receiver, and Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson are also kind of executing to their level as well, I really don't think the Packers lose anything by giving Montgomery more carries.
But I guess my thing then goes, if Montgomery is going to, you know, be the running back, we can't just have one. And Starks clearly isn't it. Maybe it is just his knee, especially, and I like what you said about the cutting, because I feel like if he just made better cuts, he would fall forward for at least 2.4 yards per carry. Number one, they still seem to use Starks, I think, more than they should at this point. But also, how low must Kristen Michael's football IQ be if he played successfully with Seattle for most of this season and he still cannot be trusted to
handle more of the load. Because I feel like if you could get Montgomery and Michael back there, it would help tremendously, yet we only saw Michael for brief spurts on Sunday.
Well, and don't get me started on Michael, because that's a big thing for me right now. This is, no, I'm not even going to say it right now, because that's like my hot pocket, but they could be so good. Sorry, go ahead, Michelle.
Well, I'll get us, you know, I'll have a Michael teaser, and then you can kind of complete the, you know, narrative with your hot pocket in a bit. But my kind of secret fear about Michael, and before anyone jumps on me and says, you know, this is crazy, we've seen Tam Thompson do this before, is I kind of am worried that they only signed him for, I don't know, the game they have coming up this week, some valuable scouting information. And then all of a sudden, when the game with the Seahawks is, maybe Michael goes on his way. And I'm not necessarily saying that that's definitely the case, but I am saying that I wouldn't be shocked if he gets cut next week and it turns out they just kind of wanted to scout their opponent. I mean, we've seen them do that with the Vikings, and I don't think it would necessarily be out of the realm of possibility.
No.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, but, like, do they understand that we need to run the ball? I mean, they know that Aaron Rodgers is hurt, right? Like, they see him in practice, yes? It's so frustrating.
You know, honestly, I was watching in the second quarter, and like I said, I was at the game, so I haven't watched the game on TV, but it sure seemed at the start of the second quarter that they ran that Ripkowski Michael a couple times, and he got some positive yards. He's a scat back. He gained 500 yards with the Seahawks. I don't know why we think he can't do that with us unless our line is that bad. Ripkowski is a beast. We should be able to run anyone behind him at this point in a traditional pro setter I formation. But you're right. I think some of this comes back down to this is Aaron Rodgers' team, and it's going to go through a number 12. And sometimes I think they have a difficult time committing to that run because Mr. Rodgers likes his neighborhood and he likes to go back and pass the ball. So I think you see those running games come in little bursts, almost like we're just going to run it all in this drive. And now we punted, so now we're never going to run it again. It's like the playbook week after week.
Right, and when your quarterback has 301 rushing yards in the season, is almost your leading rusher, was for a long time the only person to score a rushing touchdown on the season, it's kind of like, I mean, obviously the injured hamstring is another thing, but it's kind of like, okay, well, why not just give him the option to run it anytime he sees fit? He's having a lot more success than any of the natural halfbacks on the roster. Obviously, that's no way to sustain long-term success, but I do think that, you know, the Packers are able to kind of ignore the running back fiasco more than they would be able to if they didn't have a quarterback with those skills.
I think if we keep overusing Rodgers, we're not going to have a quarterback with those skills anymore. He's already nursing a hamstring. I don't really want to see him breaking out of the backfield too often. That's
right.
Just me. Anyway, transitioning a little bit, maybe a little positive news, interesting news. I don't know. I'm trying to remember. I think it was Trevor Davis. I want to say it was probably 3 weeks ago, muffed a punt, fumbled a punt, and we've never seen him again, which I always kind of find funny because we've seen this over the years. You know, a young kid makes a mistake and he is banished. A veteran makes a mistake, they're still out there. Whatever, it's fine. But the end result of Trevor Davis fumbling and being benched is Randall Cobb back on punt returns. And he seems to be picking up the team a little bit. Is this, how are you feeling about this whole Randall Cobb thing? He hasn't necessarily been our focal point in the passing game. Whereas maybe last year we were looking at Randall Cobb being our number one receiver. He's really all we had. Devontae Adams was, you know, imploding. Obviously Jordy was injured. James Jones was doing his best James Starks impersonation. So now Randall Cobb seems to be functioning very well in punt returns, helping us out in the special teams area.
Jamie, do you want to take it first?
I will. I was going to let you do it because I took Neo first, but then none of us talked. So I will just talk. It is absolutely terrifying to have Randall Cobb back there because everyone and their mom has gotten hurt this season, and I feel like it is just a ticking time bomb on punt returns that Cobb will get hurt. Also, just because, like we were just saying, Cobb plays an integral part in Montgomery being able to be in the backfield. The wrinkle of Cobb occasionally in the backfield, having Cobb as a wide receiver is important for Montgomery to be able to be in the backfield. Having said all of that, I feel that every time Cobb even runs for 5 yards on a punt return, I just want to, like, stop what I'm doing and turn around and, like, look at everyone I can see. Guys, we just returned a punt, like, even a little bit. Isn't that exciting? We do that now. Like, just that just big, like, kid grin of things. It just feels like it's been so long. Anything but fair catch or stand at the 15 and let it bounce over our heads. Or it feels like it's been forever since we've been able to do anything. So even the slightest improvement, it really does provide that spark. So while it is horrifying, I am okay with it right now because, to be frank, so much is horrifying with the team. So what's one more thing?
Yeah, I think that, you know, one of the things that kind of frustrates me about Mike McCarthy and the Packers, but then can be so beautiful to watch when it all starts coming together, is that Mike McCarthy obviously is a pretty conservative coach, but when the team gets its back up against the wall, as we saw in 2010 and are kind of seeing in this 2-game winning streak, he sometimes will just make some really bold decisions because he just literally has nothing to lose, and it's wonderful. And I think that one thing I found really interesting was I was reading this week that Ron Zook was saying that he had been lobbying for Cobb to return punts the whole year, which kind of suggests to me that Ron Zook thought that this was something they should have been doing all along and McCarthy was resistant. Obviously, as a head coach, kind of has to protect the health of one of his best offensive players, and Cobb had the hamstring injury. But, you know, the fact that the special teams coordinator knew that this was going to be their most explosive guy on punt returns, and finally he's been doing it for the past 3 games. And I read that his punt return average, Rob Domofsky had this stat on ESPN, would be the 4th highest in the league right now if he had enough returns to qualify, which is not insignificant. I mean, the Packers, you know, I've watched in jealousy for years as other teams have just had these incredible punt returners who literally just change the whole, you know, flow of a game. And I think that Randall Cobb can be that person for the Packers, and especially in a season where he hasn't had a 100-yard receiving game yet. Yeah, him being on the field creates defensive mismatches and certainly opens up things for other people, but he's not by any means Aaron Rodgers' hot read on every play. Why not? I mean, special teams is a really important phase of the game, and it doesn't get nearly as much attention on the Packers as the offense and defense do. And I think when they pay it a little bit more attention, good things happen.
All right. Well, switching now to the defensive side of the ball, lots of injuries have been taking place, as, of course, we've reported every single week in the news, but a couple of new ones. Of course, Nick Perry, this is kind of a big deal. Our leading pass rusher, he's our leading rusher. Sometimes he's invisible, but, you know, when he is visible, he's being effective. Kind of a big hit for us. And then Mike Pennell, maybe not as big of a hit, but going to start his 4-game suspension, not going to play for the rest of the regular season, was already suspended for 4 games at the beginning of the season. Any chance this guy is on the team next year?
I'm going to say no because of one person, and that's Dean Lowry. And I know they don't do exactly the same thing on the defensive line, but when you've got a 4th-round guy out of Northwestern who you kind of just took as a project, and he had the type of game he did against Houston last week, which was, I mean, I thought he was the best defensive lineman on the field. With someone like that developing, there's no way you bring a guy who is suspended twice in the same season back. He's a waste of a roster spot.
Yeah, I would agree that I don't think Mike Pennell is back next year, mostly because from the games that he was around for, I don't remember him. Now, granted, I missed 2 games because I was working. So maybe he was phenomenal in those 2 games, and I've just completely missed all. But I don't remember him at all. And so if you didn't make a mark in the few games you played, and then you've put yourself in situations where you get suspended twice in one season, I can't imagine that doesn't seem like a Ted Thompson kind of project. Especially just with the way that the younger guys have been playing. While some of it's still been up and down, I think it's, we all know how much Ted loves projects, and I think he would much prefer a project of a younger guy than trying to get something out of Mike Pennell. Nick Perry, very sad about Nick Perry. He's a USC guy. I always wanted him to be great, and the fact that he was finally having a good season made my heart sing, and it's really just a bummer that he's hurt again. And then nobody said anything ever again.
My static just went silent for a second, so I was worried I disconnected. But I know that CD has a very special guest for us. CD, are you?
Well, I think he's outside the door right now. Oh, boy. Now, the question is, do we let him in or not?
There's a lot of space in here without Jersey Al. I say we let him in.
What are you trying to say about Jersey Al? Holy cow.
Well, I've seen on Facebook that our guest is slimmed down some. So there's, you know, that also helps. Okay, jeez, let him in. Geez. Otherwise, he's just going to stand out there and rant and complain that we're not letting him in.
Hello?
Good evening, Cheesehead Radio.
Oh, my gosh!
Oh, hello!
It's that
hello!
Voice, the voice from my past. How are you doing, big buddy?
I'm very... It's a little bit slimmer, buddy, now these days, but I'm doing very good. How's everybody
doing,
else doing?
Buddy?
I don't even know what the music is in the background, but...
Back to the future. It's like we're traveling back in time.
I couldn't hear it earlier either, and I was very confused. So I'm really glad someone asked, because I still didn't get it at all. And so now I know.
Would you like to hear a fun fact, and this is 100% accurate? About 3 minutes from my house, there is an office for DeLorean Motor Company. Swear to God.
Really?
Yes.
Do they still make cars?
Every time I have to take this road to get to the local Walmart, and every time I drive on this road, I go, there's a DeLorean office right there. It doesn't make any sense because I think I've seen one DeLorean in the last 10 years. But whatever. Thank you for inviting me on. It is good to be back. You know, there's a little bit to talk about. Where do you even want to begin?
Well, we start with what you're most upset about.
Just dive right in.
I don't get upset anymore.
Oh, by the way, I'm sorry, John. This is Michelle. Michelle, John. How are you guys?
Hi, John.
Hi, Michelle. Hello, Michelle. How are you? Are they
good,
treating you well?
You?
I'm good. You have to watch
out. They treat me very well. They even save the good cookies for me, so I feel very welcomed.
Be careful of CD. He is quite a curmudgeon, so.
He's also, did you know that he's also a millennial? We learned that this year.
He's a millennial?
He's the oldest millennial who's randomly thinking of the 1970s tonight.
Well, I'll tell you what. If this is Back to the Future, when I hop back in the DeLorean, he's going to have to come with because he's older than me. And if he's a millennial, that means I'm not even born. So.
You're a zygote.
Oh, way to ruin my groove, man. I had him convinced. Thanks a lot.
Sorry.
So let's start you out with the fun topic. Ready?
Go
Don
ahead.
Capers, go.
Oh, my God. All right. So as anyone who has listened to this show, when I was a regular host, I might have once or twice suggested that Dom Capers' time has come and gone with the Packers. And yet, how many years is it now? 7 years later, he's still around. What I am absolutely fascinated with, or will be as the season comes to an end, is this the year that he is actually going to be booted? Because I honestly think that regardless of how the season ends, if the Packers somehow manage to get in the playoffs, whatever they do in the playoffs, or if they don't get in the playoffs, I honestly think that there is going to be some changes, big changes on the coaching staff. I think that this is the season that has proven that if it's not Mike McCarthy's way, maybe it's some of the coordinators that he's got. I mean, look at some of the tenure of the people. Dom Capers has been around for 7 years. Winston Moss has been an assistant head coach for like 7 years. Tom Clements has been around for eternity. Edgar Benn has been on the staff in one capacity for an eternity. I mean, these are a lot of tenured people, but at some point, things just don't work anymore. So, you know, the rushing defense looked good in the beginning of the year. I'd say it's suspect at this point. The secondary has looked anywhere from pretty good to atrocious at times, and you can attribute some of that to injuries. You can attribute some of it to the play calling. But I honestly think this is the season that if Capers survives, I will be shocked. But then the
John,
question becomes...
John, not that I'm trying to tweak you at all. I'm not trying to tweak you at all because I would never, ever do that.
No.
I never try to intentionally irritate you. But
never.
the Packers defense has only allowed 13 points in the last two games, each of the last two games. So it's a pretty powerhouse defense now. So what?
And what
do
they do? And how many points they give up? And what was it? The 4 weeks before then? What was it? An average of 35?
Sorry, we don't have a DeLorean, dude. I mean, seriously, we have to. This is the present.
Well, I do appreciate the fact that Mike McCarthy is a very successful head coach. This very successful head coach is also the one that's allowed to pick his staff. And his defense, regardless of whether it was attributed to injuries or play calling, they really pooped the bed and put them in a position where they have to win out to make the playoffs. I mean, what's he going to do after the season? That's what I'm curious to see.
John, I think of you every game when, because it has happened every single game, when one of the announcers always goes, "That Dom Capers and his creative defenses, always coming up with something." And I'm just going, "Oh, John's ears are probably bleeding," because it just seems like such the silliest, like, Dom Capers and creative. And so every game, that's the moment I think of you. That is when I miss you the most, is because it has always happened. One of the announcers will say it. That creative Dom Capers.
Really, what's more creative? Is it the 4-2 defense we roll out like every single play these days? Or is it the occasional, ooh, let's cross the inside linebacker's blitz because the offense will never pick up on that, you know? Especially when our best pass rusher, before he separated his shoulder, was playing outside linebacker where he shouldn't be playing. But that's a whole other story. You know, the defense is very – I will give him credit for this, and I'm sincere when I say this. That secondary has been beat to you-know-what. And the fact that they're somehow able to even defend anybody at this point with the likes of, I mean, they were rolling out Dimitri Goodson before he, I don't know, I think his leg fell off, you know? I mean, no offense, but I mean, he was down to bare bones, and it's like, what can you do when you've got nobody left?
Well, and
Ladarius Gunter might be one. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, to your earlier point, you know, whether or not you do agree that it's kind of Capers' time is up, I think the one thing that really can save coaches and coordinators who might be on the line or have their back against the wall is when you have a ton of injuries and then the team still somehow manages to scrape together a win, whether that's deserved or not. And so in a way, I almost wonder if just the rash of injuries in the front seven and in the secondary, and like you were saying, Gunter coming up and being a number one corner and actually doing okay, somehow extends Dom Capers' life maybe even a little bit longer than it should be.
And it shouldn't. And that's the thing that's most frustrating, I think, especially about this season. We saw it last year when they were, like, teetering along, too. But, you know, they've become very status quo with basically everything. I mean, think about last year when he took play calling back from Clements. I think everyone can agree that Tom Clements playing or calling the plays last year in offense was pretty atrocious. It was not his forte. But, you know, Mike McCarthy taking him back didn't really fix things either. But then we didn't do anything on the offensive side but just stay status quo. The defense has been, with the exception of 2 years ago, been average at best for years now. And I'm being kind when I say average at best. But we just stick with everybody we got. And that is the complacency that I think so many people are tired of. And that goes from Murphy down to Thompson down to McCarthy. You know, I don't want to sound like Bob McGinn here or anything, but, you know, change sometimes brings better results. And if it's not going to be McCarthy's time to go, and I'm not saying that it is, he really needs to take a look at that staff. And if he doesn't want to do it, then Thompson needs to take a look at the staff. And that's assuming that Ted is still our GM at the end of the season. Because who knows? With Elliott Wolf waiting in the wings, and if the reports are true that other teams are going to want to woo him away again, how many times do you think this guy is going to be like, yeah, I'll stick around and take another pseudo-promotion even though I'm not in the position that I want to be in? I mean, there's a lot of what-ifs that are going to happen this offseason. It's going to be fascinating. I love the drama.
John, I think when you bring up an interesting point about the complacency, and it's the fact that it feels like the same things have been problems, yet nothing's really changed. And I feel this, I guess it's a lot from the live blogs during the game, is that I feel like Packer fans have always been spoiled, but I feel that this season in particular, there's a very short leash of giving up on a player, a drive, a coach. Like, you know, it's people bench Rodgers in the live blog a million times in the first quarter. But it's not just that. It's like every player, like, nope, get him off. What are we doing? Like, this player should – the amount of times that Micah Hyde has been cut and just – I feel like that – like, you know, we used to joke, you know, the and now it's fire Ronzuk, hire Ronzuk after every good or bad special teams play. But I feel like the fans are just really feeling this complacency now and have such a short fuse for it. And it's not just you now. It's all
you know,
of us.
Well, I think part of the reason is this. You know, this was a team that was built to go back to the Super Bowl sometime within the last couple of years. And, I mean, we were within a – let's not dwell on the Seattle game too much, but, I mean, that was our season to go back. I mean, when you really think about it, we were – in a position to go, and then we decided to poop the bed for the last 3.5 minutes. I mean, so you've got all these number one draft picks and this roster that on the surface looked pretty good, but it's a lot of veterans. It's not like we have a bunch of rookies rolling out there, you know, that are causing this team to be very mediocre right now. This is a lot of experienced talent that is just not producing at the level for one reason or another that the fans expected. I mean, I know you were talking about Nick Perry earlier. How many years did it take for Nick Perry to actually perform like a number one pick? 4? I mean, it seemed like he was, it seemed like forever. And now he's actually, you know, he's on a, that he's basically playing for his contract. Now he's going to probably miss out on money because he's got broken fingers, but I guess which could be good for the Packers if, let's talk about complacency, if they try to re-sign him on the cheap, because that's what we do. But, you know, Dayton Jones, Nick Perry, even HaHa up until, you know, this season he's been, I would argue, his best season. You know, these are guys that have been around
yes,
for a while.
Definitely his
and
best
just,
season.
And, but they were not performing at the level that I think a lot of people expected because we were this close on multiple occasions of going back to where we thought we were headed, and we haven't. And now we're faced with, I mean, we're 6-6, and if we don't win out, we're probably not going to go to the playoffs. I mean, that's something that would be like, oh, my God. I think, CD, you might want to move because I'm pretty sure that Green Bay will just implode. I mean, you're within striking distance. If they don't go to the playoffs, you might as well just drive south. So,
I don't think I'm going to be moving anytime soon. I'm actually growing depressed listening to you, John. This is I didn't realize it was this bad.
You know, it's a good thing I didn't call in when they were 4-6.
Oh, my God.
Because,
I mean, I know. Oh, my gosh. You would have broken the Blog Talk Radio.
And, you know, that would have been bad because, as everyone knows, I know how hard you work on your shows.
They're
so
very important. Someday we'll have to tell Michelle all about that. See, I have no idea. I feel much, much happier listening to John just because I feel like I'm at home again. Like, the family's back together.
Aww.
Even if we're all complaining. Like, I didn't get to have Thanksgiving because I was working. So this is my Thanksgiving, is people sitting around complaining about things. So, you know, it's a warm
what
spot.
What are family gatherings if not people sitting around complaining about things?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's switch topics. Is
okay.
That okay, John? All right.
Absolutely.
Seahawks game coming up, and the Seahawks has something to play for. They can actually clinch a playoff berth. In doing so, they'd probably knock any chance the Packers have of getting into the playoffs out there. To me, you know, being at the Houston game last week, it was a good game. A lot of Houston fans there, way more than I thought there would be.
Well, there's a shock.
But, yeah, I know. But they were really, really polite, you know, fantastic. I mean, everyone were shaking hands. It was very, they said how polite the people were, et cetera, et cetera. The Seahawks fans, I'm not seeing that. I think that there's a bit of a rivalry, and I guess maybe we can just review some of those great Seahawk battles here, maybe starting with Matt Hasselbeck, you know, years ago, and just some of the things. Is this a bigger rivalry right now for the Packers and Seattle? Is that bigger than Detroit right now?
I mean, probably. Because if nothing else, they stopped us 2 years ago from going to the Super Bowl. There was the Fail Mary game. I mean, think about how hyped that game was 2 years. I think it was 2 years ago when they went to Lambeau, and everybody was like, well, now we have a chance to beat them at Lambeau. Yeah, but you play Seattle, like, based on division record, and you know, like, every 4 years after that. I mean, it's just like it doesn't make any sense. I think they're a bigger rival because they've proven that they are better than the Packers during crunch time. I'll say that. When you think about the games that they have lost, I mean, I will always think back to the NFC Championship game and say, that was our game to win. We had it won, and we pooped the bed. And ever since then, that's the goal that we've been trying to get back to. Because somehow that team has figured out a way to overcome injuries, overcome adversity, and yet somehow they're always in the discussion of top one or two in the NFC at the end of the season. Packers are always top one or two in the NFC going into the season. But if you notice, most of the time we're not in that discussion at the end of the season. We'll get into the playoffs, and there's always, like, Seattle and, you know, last year Carolina, you know, always a couple teams ahead of us. But we're never there at the end of the season. Why is Seattle? And I think that's why they're the bigger rival. And right now, we have to win at home against that team to keep our playoff hopes alive. And if they win, not only do they win, do they clinch some sort of a playoff berth to be determined, they'll probably put us out of the playoffs. I think there's a little bit riding on that. If I was McCarthy, this is the game that you need to focus all of your energy on. Don't look past this nonsense of like, oh, then we have three division games after that. If you don't focus right now on this game, in my opinion, if they get destroyed at home, that very well could spell the end of McCarthy and Green Bay. Because if I was Seth Thompson, I would say, you not only have proven this year that you are an average coach at this point in your career, but you cannot win the big game at crunch time when you absolutely need to.
Wow. Jamie, Michelle, chiming in.
CD, when I saw in the script the stuff about the rivalry and if it was bigger, at first they said, no, I don't think this is a big rivalry at all, mostly because I'm over the Fail Mary. Like, I just does not affect me at all anymore. But listening to John talk and just kind of thinking about it, it kind of reminds me of the way that the Packers played the Cowboys in the early and mid-90s. Both good teams. Both every year we're expected to be good, yet everything that the Packers weren't or struggled with, the Cowboys then seemed to be able to do. And I feel like that's why Seattle feels so frustrating. And it's sometimes just the little things. Seattle wraps up their tackles. Seattle doesn't have a superstar, quarterback that can make all these amazing throws. Not that Russell Wilson's bad, he's just not an Aaron Rodgers kind of quarterback. They're like the opposite, the antithesis of they have that great defense, they generally had a good running game, and they do. They find a way to claw out wins. I'm a big Pete Carroll fan. I've loved his coaching style because I feel that he always gets the most out of his players, and I think that he makes great in-game adjustments. And those are just the things that the Packers lack. And I'm thinking back to it in the 90s. That was the thing that always killed me about the Cowboys, was that no matter how good I felt about the Packers, no matter how many great games and big names on the team, I knew that that game was going to be a loss and it was going to be painful because I knew that the Packers weren't going to be able to do it. And honestly, I kind of feel that way about the game. I'm what John doesn't want McCarthy to do. I'm resigned to this being a loss, and I'm okay with it. I've moved on, and I'm just looking at division.
All right. Michelle, any positivity today?
So I do, I think, maybe just out of delusion more than anything else, spoiler alert for when we do our game picks, I do have the Packers winning this one by 1 point just because they've got more on the line. I think they obviously have to want it more. I mean, their backs are against the wall. They're in desperation mode. But I do think Seattle is a better team. I think Seattle has been the better team since that NFC Championship game meeting. And I think that Pete Doherty, actually, I read his column earlier today, and I think he really nailed why that is, which is basically just the philosophies and the way the teams are built and the fact that the Seahawks sort of understand how to build a championship-level team. They understand that you need playmakers, you know, at multiple levels, at every position on the field, and they've made sacrifices. I mean, they have 5 new starters on the offensive line, but they signed free agents who are going to get them over the hump and get them to that next level. And the Packers, you know, I've said this for a few years now, the Packers are a team that's built to consistently make it to the playoffs, but they're not really a team that's built to do what you need to do to win a Super Bowl, which is really just outplay, you know, those key matchups on the field, whether it be your really, really great cornerback who can just shut down any of the kind of crazy, huge, fast wide receivers who we're seeing come into the league, or, you know, your huge defensive lineman who just shuts down the run game. And, you know, the Packers haven't really had a Super Bowl caliber defense since, well, the last time they won the Super Bowl 6 years ago. And so I think that what this game just comes down to is just the ability to kind of out-coach. And I think that Mike McCarthy, as we've seen with the talent he's been given on the field, has really struggled this year to kind of switch up his game plan in the second half, to adapt to what's been going on, come out with the win. I've been really intrigued and encouraged by what I've seen from McCarthy in the last 2 weeks, some of the game plans he's come out with, some of the adjustments he's made in the games. And I think he's just going to really have to tap into his most creative parts of the playbook and just kind of go for it, because he can't be conservative. He can't hold back. I mean, this is, you know, it reminds you of when he went for the field goal on 4th-and-1 twice. And he can't be that coach in this game. It's the season's on the line. This is his shot. Like John was saying, it really, really reflects poorly on him if they lose this game. He's got to just go for it.
All right. John, we're about to go into a segment we'd like you to join us in. It's called Hot Pockets. You know what that is?
Like Jim Gaffigan?
No, even better.
Hot Pockets.
So yeah. We all get a... He likes it just like Al does. That's kind of funny. Al never stops laughing at this. It's kind of creepy. But anyway, we all have just one topic that we want to talk about, kind of our last little gasp here. But let's start out with Michelle. What is your hot pocket this week?
My hot pocket this week is the person I wrote about for my She Said TV column today, who is the one and only Ladarius Gunter. And I think that it's really just incredible that he went from being the former undrafted free agent. He was the number 4 corner on the roster to start the season. He went all the way up to the number 1 and even the starting left cornerback due to injuries to Demaryius Randall, Sam Shield, and Quentin Rollins. We saw him struggle a little bit. It wasn't always pretty for him this season. Against the Cowboys in particular, he really struggled. But he's actually been one of the biggest playmakers in the secondary this season for the Packers. He leads the team in passes defended with 9. He doesn't have an interception yet, but he's had his hands on the ball so much, I think it's just a matter of time until he gets one. So even though the Packers have more options now, because they have gotten Randall and Rollins back, I think that they've really seen what Gunter can do, and now they can kind of be more selective and strategic with how they use him on the field and really put him in position to make those big plays that, as we've seen, can really turn games at this point in the season. So I'm pretty excited about him. I think that, you know, for all we've said about Ted Thompson, he does find some diamonds in the rough, and Gunter is definitely one of them.
Hot pocket.
Jamie Snowden, what's your hot pocket this week?
I love having my hot pocket after Michelle's, because Michelle's is so concise yet jam-packed with all of this information, and mine is more like, here's something about me. Mostly because you can tell who better prepares for this segment. I have to miss another Packers game this season. I will not be able to watch the Seattle game because we have a volunteer recognition dinner at work, which was originally scheduled for 2 other days. And somehow, while I was in North Carolina, it got moved to a Sunday. It's flooring everybody. Everyone looks at the calendar and goes, really, on Sunday? But apparently someone made that decision, and we are supporting them. And I cannot get out of this. So I am terrified because I don't have the best track record, especially this season, of missing games, since I missed the Atlanta and the Indianapolis game. And I kind of missed the Washington game. So in advance, really sorry, everybody. The Red Cross will think of you. I'm sorry. But if the Packers lose, it's my fault. Will fire me. John Capers can stay another week.
Sorry, that was a little premature hot pocketing there.
That's okay. It happens sometimes, CD. Don't feel bad about it. It happens to everyone.
Well, I love following Jamie's hot pocket because mine just ends up being kind of rambly and whiny. So, but Jersey Al's not here to make fun of me. So here we go. The Packers are not to win games without a running game. Personally, I am so impressed right now with Ripkowski. He is running like a boss. I mean, he is scoring touchdowns. All he does is score touchdowns. But I'm watching during the game, and he's just nailing some of these blocks. And then I watch him go through the line, take out a defensive tackle, and then James Starks runs parallel with the line of scrimmage the opposite direction. I'm like, what are you doing? You have a block. Go to the hole. In my brain, I can envision Christian Michael, Aaron Ripkowski being the new Warrick Dunn and Mike Allstott if they just commit to it. And if they don't, I don't think the Packers win this game. Seattle's too good. And if they can't beat the Seahawks in this game, they're not going to win playoff games this year. They're not going to win next year. And I don't know if Michael is the answer. Maybe he's not all that bright. I have no idea. But he's got yards in Seattle. We're not giving him touches here. We're still giving touches to, as much as I love Ty Montgomery, and it's great to have him back there as a change of pace back. It's great. We still need someone who's just going to be able to hammer it down and get those yards and keep a defense on their back, on their heels. I think this is worth a try. I hope they do it. I hope that Michael has come along enough that maybe he understands plays. I have no idea what the delay is, but I'd love to see it. I think this has a chance to be something big. Hot pocket. John?
Okay, every time you play that sting, I hear Jim Gaffigan sing the song. And if you don't know the Jim Gaffigan Stamp Special, just go on YouTube and Google Jim Gaffigan Hot Pockets, and you'll know why I've been laughing the whole time every time you play that. Anyways, so while you guys were hot pocketing, I actually warmed up too. I am double-fisting hot pockets. They're both pretty quick. One, everyone who wanted Devontae Adams cut last year, and I think I was one who said it myself, I take it back. He is by far your number one wide receiver on the Packers this year. Without question, number one wide receiver. I am so glad that he is having the season that he is. It's making all the haters eat their words, even a hater like you, CD. And the number two thing.
Ouch.
Julius Peppers has been a very, very good player for a very, very long time. I think everyone would agree with that. He is going to go to the Hall of Fame. I am all for re-signing free agents. I do like the fact that Ted likes to sign his own free agents. Ted, if you listen to the show, because I know you do, I'm begging you, don't re-sign Julius Peppers. He's done. He is done. Hot pocket.
Yeah, it's not as funny after the fifth time.
Well, that's because I had two. I only got one, so.
That's all you get.
That's fine.
That's all right. All right, let's get to some Packer game predictions.
Cheesehead Radio. Packers game predictions.
Well, the Green Bay Packers are going to host their second home game in a row. It's going to be at 3:25 this Sunday as the Seattle Seahawks come into town. Must win for the Green Bay Packers, at least I like to think it is. I think one more loss, they're out. Let's take it around the horn and figure out how we think the Packers are going to fare. We're going to start with Michelle, the only person who's actually filled in a prediction.
You know, you guys are going to go with your guts, and I like it. All right, well, I spoiled this earlier, but I think the Packers, you know, I feel like at this point in the season, I have to just predict wins for them from here on out. And I played the bad guy a lot earlier this year and correctly predicted a few of their losses. But at this point, if we predict a loss, we're basically saying that they don't make the playoffs. And I'm not quite ready to roll over on that yet. So I'm going to go with Packers 21, Seahawks 20. I do think it's going to be an extremely close game. It's probably going to come down to the final minutes. Hopefully it doesn't come down to the first minutes of overtime like the one 2 years ago did. But I just think the Packers are playing for their lives. Their backs are against the wall. And while it's not like the Seahawks don't have anything to play for, they have a comfortable lead in their division. So I think that ultimately Green Bay's desperation just has to kind of fuel them through this one.
All right. I am CD Angeli, and I am not going to pick the Packers to win this game. And I blame it all on the fact that they're not going to run Aaron Ripkowski and Christian Michael. No. I'm not. I was watching Seattle play, and even without Earl Thomas, this is a team that is playing like a team that is ready for the playoffs. I don't think they're the best team in the NFL, but they're of a higher caliber of team than I think the Packers have played probably, the last 5 weeks. We've played a lot of mediocre teams. Houston is a mediocre team. I'm sitting in the stands with the fan, and the fan's looking back and says, you know what? Whoever's going to win this division is going to be 500. We just need to lose the rest of our games so we get a good draft pick. I said, that's the attitude of the Texans. That's what we're playing against. I think the Seahawks are going to bring a different attitude, a little more swagger, and I think it's going to be a real test for the Packers at home, to be able to come in here and show that they belong. And I don't think they're going to do it, and I hate to say it, but I'm going to say Seattle Seahawks 24, Green Bay Packers 17. Jamie.
Okay, so earlier I said that I don't feel good about the game, and I don't, just because it's the way I feel about Seattle games now. Also because I'm not going to be able to watch it, and I just feel it. The cards are aligning for the Packers to lose this. I also feel like while it is a must-win game, I'm really hopeful that since we have the rest of the division stuff to go, that we could – I don't trust the Lions to keep being good. So I feel that there could still be a way that we back our way into the playoffs, even if we lost this game. However, I have missed the last 2 weeks on the show, but I have put my predictions in at Cheesehead TV. And 2 weeks ago, I said Eagles 28, Packers 21, with my thought of I was losing hope on the season, but if the Packers go down, I'm going to go down with them. So last week, I entered my prediction as Packers 21, saying I was just going to ride it till it dies, and that is what I'm going to do this week. Packers go down, I'm going down with them. Packers 28, Seahawks 21, I'm just going to ride that hot hand.
All right. So we have both ladies are predicting a Packers win. I predict a Packers loss. John, you can tip the scale one way or the other, or actually even it out. Go ahead.
So the Packers are 4-6. I might have messaged, I don't know, CD and said they would finish 5-11 this season. As is 99% of the case, I was wrong. However, the last 2 weeks I have been pretty close to my predictions. I predicted wins, and I was predicted very close to the final score. And I've also said that 9-7, I think, might be enough to get them in the playoffs. How, I don't know. So that means they need to win 3 out of 4. And this is the one they're going to lose. And I have a really bad feeling. And I mean a really, really, really bad feeling. This game is going to be ugly. I mean bad, bad, bad. The Seahawks are a better team right now. They're playing like they're getting ready for the playoffs. We are playing like an average to slightly above average team, and I don't think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be something like Seattle 35, Green Bay 17. And I apologize for ending the show on a downer, but I really want to say they're going to win. I really want to. And I cannot bring myself to do it. I just can't.
Michelle?
And now I'll be banished from the show forever, so.
Michelle?
I know what you're going to say.
You do. What am I going to say?
You're going to say that isn't it so nice to have someone else who will do the dirty work of predicting Packers losses so I don't have to do it.
I was just going to say that I wasn't always the most negative one on the show.
It's not negative if you're honest. Remember that.
Ooh, I'm going to get you a T-shirt that says that.
Holiday gift.
Welcome to my world for 6 years, Michelle.
Not like we try to intentionally tweak them or anything like that. There's no fun in that, right?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
If only Al was here, Al would love it.
He would. Absolutely. All right, let's take this puppy out.
Well, thank you all so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio. And a very special thanks to John Rahor for returning triumphantly but depressingly to the show tonight. Make sure to head on over to PackersTalk.com where you can explore several unique Packers podcasts, follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter, and like the Packers Talk page on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes. Just Google Packers Talk iTunes and you'll find it. Be sure to subscribe and please leave us a positive, glowing, wonderful review if you can. You can also listen in by using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcasting app and search for Packers Talk. Finally, please be sure to support our sponsor, Ticket King. You can find them online at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. That's a wrap. Go Pack, go.
Great show, guys.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for having me back on. A lot of fun.
Absolutely. Till next week. Go Pack, go. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Go Pack, go.
John, you really like this music, don't you?
You do realize I'm dancing right now, right? I have the glow sticks out and everything.
Terrible.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your moves.
Danny, I just figured out that if I switch to Metro PCS, I get two Samsung Galaxy phones free.
Cool, Dad.
And I could be a super dad with two free Samsung Galaxy phones and call myself Double Galaxy Man.
Or you could give the second phone to your sidekick.
Yeah, I guess I could do that.
That's right. Two free Samsung Galaxy On 5 smartphones are all yours when you switch to Metro PCS. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.